I go before them into Galilee, and there will I see them. And he saw risen Savior. He saw him ascend up on high. They heard the promise that was bestowed upon them. And he speaks then, not out of the fullness of intellectual knowledge, but out of the fullness of faith, out of the teachings of the Holy Spirit. So we have the epistle here of one that had entered in for the things that he speaks of, and he could speak by faith of those truths that he knew to be very real and very true, having seen them, touched them, experienced them, and believed God's word to be true concerning it. Many gracious exhortations he gives in the chapters that we have read this morning in your hearing, both in regard to the apostles, in regard to the church, and all those who fear God. And he comes now, drawing a close to his first epistle, knowing full well the cares and trials that would await them, lie before them. For Peter could foresee that which awaited the Christian church in his day. And not only so, also of those difficulties which will attend the pathway of every child of grace as he goes along through life's journey. He utters these blessed words, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, how he knew that. He knew it, did he, not only by gracious revelation, but what he had seen in the Lord himself, his tender compassion over many, how he healed many of diverse diseases, how he came to those that were poor and afflicted and cast down, and not only so, as he came to them, as they were shut up in the room of Jerusalem for fear of the Jews and his crucifixion. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's a mercy, friends, if you and I know anything of this gracious teaching. As well, if we're enabled in providence to cast all upon him, for all things in his hands, of course we accept it, don't we? For all things in his hand, all at his command, we accept it as a truth. But my friend, there's one thing to accept it as a truth in the mind, that's good. There's another thing to know it by living experience, by having these truths stamped and sealed upon our own heart and conscience by the experience which we are called to pass through in life's journey. It's the only way, friends, that we can know these vital truths for ourselves. And to know them, feel them, touch them, we need a God-given faith. For the natural man receiveth not the things of God. He may know, of course he may know, hundreds know much about God, hundreds accept that God is God, hundreds accept that he is able to save, that he is an all-powerful God, and so on. And some of you here, no doubt all receive that truth, you don't deny that truth. But my friend, the point is this, we must be brought to know him for ourselves. What do you and I know him? For ourselves? What do we know of him? By what he himself has made known to us. Now there's the final thing. Until we know something of this, we cannot, in true faith, cast our care upon the Lord, neither will we desire to. There will always be a measure of fears and doubts and tremblings which will overcome unless there is a God-given faith to cast in all your care, and not some things, all things, both in providence and in grace. Then has the Lord given us faith? Faith isn't some mysterious thing, you know, that is made known to us through some visionary appearance or some word applied. It's by the regenerating act of God and His sovereignty as He quickens a poor sinner from the death in sin to the life and righteousness, to the dead known on anything. That is, the dead know not spiritually, know not anything spiritually. They can't any more than a dead man can know what's going on around us here or hear my voice. Neither can you. If you're still dead in trespasses and sins, you cannot receive what I say in regard to spiritual truth that is in your own heart. You may accept them in your mind. But where does that leave us, friend? We want something more than that, friend. Well, then the Lord condescends in mercy to bring us a way that we knew not, and paths that we have not known, make the crooked straight, the rough places plain. These sins, He said, will I do unto them, and are not forsaken. You and I have little known the path that lies before us, didn't we? When the Lord first put His fear into our hearts, did He not give us faith then to look to that one fountain open for sin and uncleanness? Was God the one object for pardoning mercy? Did He not make known to us that all our works were of no avail? But there was no hope but in the precious Christ, in that which He wrought out. Although perhaps we knew but very little of the depth of the doctrines of it at that time, and perhaps even in regard to election, if you brought that before that poor sinner, he wouldn't receive it, perhaps. If you say, no, I can't think a God of love would be such as to act as you say. But you see, my friend, still, the Lord has begun that work in His heart. He's given Him to know and feel Himself to be a sinner, and He'll go on to purpose the thing concerning Him. He'll bring Him into these truths, and by being brought into these truths, so He will make them known unto Him, the life and power within them. Otherwise, you and I stand without Him. We may have a lifelong religion in believing, and yet have nothing vital in it. It's well and true. And yet we may feel that having very little in it, and yet has a vital thing within it. Cast in all your care. Then, friends, they're brought to this place which is essentially necessary, and as we pass through life's journey, to be taught where our strength lays. It doesn't lie in our laying ourselves, whatever. There's no strength in self. This is one of the hardest lessons to learn as we pass along through life's journey. To know that there's nothing in self That is, we can accomplish in self. That is, that we can achieve in self. That is, that we can in self court the favor of God. That is, whatever in self. The pride of man is so strong, so overpowering, that he will not have this man to rule over him. And yet here is where the Lord brings us down to him. The nothing in self. We sing that hymn sometimes, lovely hymn. I can do nothing without thee. My strength is all in vain. Withered and barren should I be, severed from the vine. Now here the Lord brings us to that place to see and feel and know how helpless we are and in of ourselves. Of course, it's a thing you hear every time, perhaps more or less, you sit under the sound of the gospel. And sometimes you may see, well, you're nearly tired of it, aren't you? But how are you going to learn of Christ? How are you going to be taught of him unless he brings you under the spirit of discipline? If it's hard to your ear, my friend, it'll be hard to your heart. But my friend, when the Lord has taught you anything of these things, you'll say it's true. How does he bring us? By that way, perhaps, that we think it's going to be. We should get better and better, stronger and stronger, more holy as we pass along, more fit to stand up against the great enemy of souls, and so we shall eventually get to heaven at last. Well, friends, I've been spared a good many years in this wilderness, but I can't see heaven for me, if that's the way. I believe, my friend, it's being brought down to nothing and to lean only upon a precious Christ. Now that's the place. But here then, when we can see no deliverance, it's here then all the arm of flesh itself to be weak in itself, and even your religion seems to have faded away. There's no marks of grace I've none to show. You look within yourself sometimes, and it's all very well in the day of prosperity, whether it's spiritual or providential prosperity, very comfortable then, you can all believe in God then. But what about the day of adversity? What about when the Lord brings you into soul trouble? Or what about when he brings you into providential difficulties? And you try to take your case before the Lord. Can you feel, friend, whether it's spiritual or whether it's providential, can you feel within your heart that the Lord will help you, will be with you? Have you got the strength of faith to believe that? Can you cast your care upon him? Can you take it all believing that he will? Not only that he is able, that he will. Can you? I don't find I can, friend. I would, but oh my friend, in the first instance, how we feel the strength and power of unbelief comes up. You look for your religion, you seem you've got none. You look for faith, you seem as if you're as weak. You've no faith to believe, and everything seems, as it were, to close shut up. Heaven is as brass, you try to pray, your prayer's like the jacking of the crane. You're really sick and tired of your own prayers. You may feel then, perhaps, that you're more like an hypocrite than the child of God. And in that place, then, when you're down like that, and they lay in your utter helplessness, the great adversary comes along, and he'll say, you who profess to fear God, you who profess to have known him? Where's all your religion now? Where's all the promises of that truth you think you had? Where's they gone to now? Many fears and doubts come along, and everything's blotted out in your life that the Lord has done for you and in you for the time being. All but himself. There's one thing he never takes away from us. He never takes away our walls. There's something underneath, friends, in the darkest moments that will still cling to him. Although we feel sometimes that there's no hope. This is where you cast your care when you've got no one else around, no other place, no help in self, no help around you, and feelingly no help in God. When you stand desperately, feelingly, before the Lord, and then you cast your care. Yet you feel that utterly unable to do so. But there's this, that like Jonah, when he was down in that belly of foul hell, he said, "Ah, look again towards that holy temple. May indeed the Lord will be gracious." And if the Lord has ever blessed your soul, if he has ever given you hope in his mercy, if he has ever delivered, ever at any time delivered you, then if you could have seen his hand in it and been enabled in all humility to praise and bless his holy name, if he has ever done that for you, although you may be in the darkest, deepest pit that you've ever been in your life, my friend, he'll bring you up out of it. There is one thing, friends, that the devil can never touch, the fear of the Lord that he's put into the heart of a child of God. His days of darkness may be many. His distress may be great. His cries and groans daily as he passes along. But the time will come when the Lord will bring him out, casting all his care from his wall of. Yes, like one of old when she went in under the tree. Ah, she said, as he said to her, commanded her to go in under the king and plead the cause to the other people. And she said, "I have not seen the king's face for many days." That's the trouble, isn't it, friend? When we're in trouble. See, when we are brought from the past, we begin to realize now that we haven't sought him as we should be. We haven't been so earnest as we should be. We've been very well satisfied to pass along with the frame of religion, with the reading, with the prayer. We're very well satisfied with that. But when the Lord brings us to this place, we have to come out. Oh, if I had only seen favor to the Lord, if I had something to go on now, and all everything seems to be against me now. As he said, "I haven't seen the king's face for many days. Nevertheless, he said, I'll go in under the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." There's the hope. There's a living hope of a child of God. Can you look anywhere else? Of course, you wonder where the religion is sometimes. And whether you've got any real religion, the Lord ever brought you there. Can you look anywhere else for salvation? To say you haven't got much religion, you wonder where you are, stuck from time to time. Sometimes you're careless about it, please the matter. Another time you'll exercise, wonder where the sea will end. But is there sometimes, friends, that going in under the king Is there underneath it all the hope that the Lord will appear for you? Is there in sometimes when you get desperate in the least case of casting all your care upon him? Not leaving some behind, but casting it all there. And here comes the blessing, friends, in this place. It is when they can know deliverance in this man, their strength shall be. You might feel, well, unbelief may get so strong sometimes. You might think, well, of all the hundreds and thousands of people that are on the earth, is it possible that God can be concerned about my affairs? Is it possible that God can care in regard to my immortal soul? Here's a profound mystery, yes. Yes. He does know. And he knows every detail. I was struck when reading the Word of God. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians in the 9th chapter and the 9th verse, we have this quotation of Paul there is quoting the law that was given to Moses. Said the muzzle not the ox to clear it out the corn. And then there's a stop there, and then it follows up, does the Lord care for oxen? It pulls you up short there, doesn't it? Does the Lord care for oxen? Can it be possible that he so cares for the beast of burden that can it be possible they need to care for me too? Yes, my God. The same God is God over all and is able things. And it's his desire that we shall come and cast our care upon him. But only thus, as we are brought there, can we know that he cares for us. How does he know that? Perhaps I'll tell a little experience of my own. Not an old experience, but just recent. The last day or two when I've been away from you, I've been very dark in my mind. Very dark. The Word of God seems to be shut up. Oh, what a place to be in, prophetic ministry of God. To see no evidence within or without. Fine place. But this Word was laid upon my mind, casting all your care upon him, nay, that he careth for you. And I felt that the Lord would raise me up and enable me to come once more and speak to you. And I said yesterday, this was made over to me, Lord, if that really did come from me, if it is thy purpose that I shall preach from that text, do give me strength to come. You give me a nice rest, for my trouble is to be no rest at night, owing to the severe cough. Oftentimes, at 4 o'clock in the morning, before I got a wink of sleep, nothing but cough. And I thought, oh, the Lord will only give me a nice rest, then I shall go and come. And then I shall know that it came to him. Well, here I am, friends. I had the best night last night I had all the time I've been there. So he does care. Women and able to cast our care upon him. He does care. And oh, what a comfort it is, isn't it? What a lifting up out of the dark places. After all, it raises up again that living hope, doesn't it? Knowing, it says, that he careth for you. We want to know something more than merely to cast our care upon him. We want to know that in the casting of our care upon him, he careth for us. And he condescends to hear our prayer. Have you proved that as you've gone along? In fact, the simple things of life, that are they simple? Are they so simple? That can bring a poor sinner out of the prison house and the miry clay, out of the darkness, and setting my faith upon the rock. Are they simple? How do you know, God? How do you know for yourself? Unless you're brought into these particular spots and places. Poor as you are, though he's brought very low. I see no hope with him. The enemy was around, ruthless. Powerful enemy, I wish he had no power and no might. And the Lord had promised that he would deliver him, yet it seemed as if over the day went on, the enemy was more powerful. It seemed that nothing but destruction awaited him when he turned his face to the wall. And he prayed unto his God. And the Lord didn't leave him. Ah, my friend, it's not a bad place to have your face to the wall. You've got your face off of self, haven't you? Not of the world. Not pleasant to the flesh. Nothing there to satisfy the flesh. It's a painful yet blessed pathway to have your face to the wall and pray to your God. To be shut out and shut in. As you pass it, by these things men live. And in these things is the life of my spirit. That's it, friends. And isn't it, as you've been passed along through life's journey here and there, as he has helped you and delivered you, comforted your heart, made a way for you with providence, given you a good hope here and there that you're not destitute, although you'll be brought very low, very dark places pressed, and spiritually, although you moved among your fellow men, no one could see what was going on in your heart, but the Lord knew, and you knew, and yet he brought you out. You had to cast your care upon him. The mercy to know these things. There's another thing, friends. It is a very strange experience. But it's an experience that the world has never known. That is, the child of God sometimes is brought to see something of what is in his own heart. Now, worldly, an ungracious man knows nothing of this teaching. And when that child of God sometimes is in his troubles and in his difficulties, and the Lord shows him something that is in his own heart, shows him the sin that's there in his flesh. Oh, what a trial this is. These powers of indwelling sin that rise up. No one else, only God and the poor sinner knows it. But here is the purpose of God showing us that. How can you pray when this hideous scene comes up before you? How can you pray to God when you know there's all this in your heart, all this uncleanness, all this rising up from time to time? How can you come before a holy God? Here's the place here. The worldling knows nothing of this, but the child of God knows it. But here then he casts himself where? Upon the finished work of a precious Christ. All hope of self gone now. All his religion, all his war, all his benevolence. Everything is gone now except the one thing, Christ. And there he comes now to cast himself there upon the finished work of a dear Redeemer. You've been there. You know something of that in measure. It's the Lord teaching you that as you go along, the powers of the indwelling spirit. And so, my friends, you see, he fully careth for you when the Holy Spirit reveals us of that great work of atonement in your soul. When he gives you to know, see, and feel a little of the virtue of that precious blood and all its cleansing efficacy, and applies it to your heart and conscience, and raises up that blessed hope that all sin is put away. All sin, not some sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, cleanses from all sin. Trying pathway to be brought there, you know, but it's a blessed place. It's here where the Lord opens the heart to receive the blessing. And it's here the feeling of the vital things that become alive. Much we speak of Jesus' blood, yet our little understood. But my dear friends, the Lord brings these dear people there. And I believe this is the way he brings them there. Yes. Nothing in itself, but all in all in the precious Christ. Cast all your care, not some of it, everything there. Providence and grace, mercy to lay in his hands, not like a faithless, but hoping, trusting, believing, praying, seeking, desiring, casting it all upon him. Walking it with your prayers and your supplications, day after day to you, the Lord will appear. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, doubtless will come again rejoicing, bringing his seed with him. There's no doubt about that. Although the day seems long sometimes, and those of you perhaps who advance through life, gentlemen, you wonder how it will be when you're in these places. You wonder how it will be with you when you come to the end. Because that's all you've got after all. If you're left in that place and found there, how is it going to be with you? Oh, what a trial it is, isn't it? For these very things cause you to cast it all upon the Lord. All of them near my heart, Lord. Take on. Cast the Lord all your care upon him, for he cares for you, and nothing else matters. If you ever in a touch of that, and the Lord has brought that over to you, then he does care for you, and nothing else matters. All is in his hands, and all the work for his good, and to that is for your good and his glory. And he'll bring you at last to heaven where he is, yes, showing you that he does care for you. Send the Lord to his people of old when he was walking these earthly courts, he said of you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to those that seek him? Where are you seeking? In this world? Want a bit of this world, do you? It's all you got it. Can't do without it, can you? Must have it, doesn't it? Spreads your bread and butter for you, doesn't it? So you must have it. So you'll have a little bit of the world and a little bit of religion. Picks it up very well. Goes along very well, doesn't it? But oh my, doesn't the Lord know that we have need of these things before we ask him? Cast him all your care. When you and I come to the end of the journey, we're going to cast out all these. Well, do we have a place to cast out all them souls? Will it be not on the presence of Christ? Ah, what a blessing to know these things. As we pass along through life's journey, here a little and there a little, line upon line. Ah, don't cast away your little hope. Here and there, if you've got a grief somewhere, just a spot here or there in life's journey where you had to say, I know the Lord was there. I know it because I know the desperate situation I was in, both body and soul. I know the gracious deliverance you gave me. I know that. Now many days may have passed since then, and that experience that has been obliterated fresh in your mind, and yet it comes up sometimes, and you can say that, I know the Lord was there. Why, my friends, if he was there, he's with you always and will be, even unto the end, for he cares for you. Think of that. An almighty triune Jehovah cares for you. Can it be possible? The Lord blesses you in mind. Amen. I close the service, I'd just like to say I should like to be with you this evening, but I don't think it's wise. This is the first time I've been out since I was last with you. But my prayers will be with you and with the Lord's servant, who I hope will be here safely. And if the Lord will, I hope to be with you on the coming Sabbath as well. Gracious Lord, pardon the few feeble remarks made in thy name. Bless them to our souls. Grant that good hope that our times in thy hand. Bless us with a God-given faith to cast our care upon thee. Favor us, Lord, for that greatest of blessings, the knowledge that thou hast care for us. Take us now to our respective places for abode and peace and safety. And may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and sweet communion of the eternal Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.